Shall we pray? Our gracious eternal Savior, we're singing concerning the fact of your presence, singing Jesus is here. And we know that the Apostle Paul said there would be a time, and was already in his time, coming in rapidly, that there would be another Jesus rather than the original one, the true Jesus. And we know that's gone on and on and on, Lord, until man has ended up in a trinity of gods, away from your word entirely. And this morning, by grace, through vindication, through a prophet that was sent, we believe that we understand that the real Jesus is here at this time. And we thank you, Lord, for that, that we follow after Brother Branham, even as Elijah followed Elijah and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And we this morning say the same thing, not as though we do not know, for we do know. In our hearts we believe that you are the Lord God of Elijah, the Lord God of William Branham, the Lord God of the Apostle Paul, the same one that was in a human frame in Jesus the Christ, born of Mary, the same one with Moses and all down through the ages. We believe you are that one. And we're grateful, Lord, that we have this much insight, that we are able to worship at least this far a true God. May we learn now to worship you in spirit and in truth, and be one with you, Lord. That's what we desire above everything else. Then we know all else shall fall into line. We give you glory this morning. May we continue to give you glory, Lord, in whatever way you desire of us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're continuing in the study of covenants. And, of course, we do some repeating, quite a bit of repeating, because it is not so much you know as a compilation of voluminous material, but exactly how well you know it and your ability to apply it to the end time message. Now, Brother Branham gave us a marvelous key when he literally informed us concerning the principle of the doctrine, or the principle of Alpha and Omega, and showed us that everything had to start in the book of Genesis and would end in the book of Revelation. In other words, there would be a consummation of God unveiling himself from the beginning to the end, and also there would be the consummation of the plan and purpose of God that came forth in the book of Genesis to the very place in which we stand, which gives us the authority to believe that we shall certainly be a part of the future kingdom, which is not only millennial, but also of the new heavens and the new earth. And so, with that thought in mind, I'm going to go back to Genesis chapter 1 again, and we look at 26 to 27. And God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, or the fowl of the air, or the cattle over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. Image of God created him. Male and female created he them. And that was in the singular of a spirit form body, which we are told in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul mentioning there is a spirit body, there is a physical body, then there is, of course, a glorified physical body. Now, in here, you will notice that the purpose of God is set forth. No matter how much is added to our understanding of this covenant, you must not begin to change the covenant by any form of additional information or ramifications concerning it. Now, the reason I say that is because the majority of you came out of a legalistic background. And all you know is there was a wonderful God, and He started out so happy to make mankind, and He made mankind, and the devil came right along, and man blew it, and now poor God, poor God, poor God, if we could only satisfy His heart and turn the tables around and make God happy. That is the stupidest, most arrogant hogwash I've ever heard in my life. And yet 99% believe it. Pure, unmitigated lies. If I've got to do something for God, there's something wrong with God. You say, Brother Vail, I don't think that's right because the Bible's full of doing for God. You are corrupting your thinking. The Bible warns us there is nothing God needs. He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't take a meal from you. Whoo, that's a high and mighty type of God. That's the kind of God I like. No freeloader. No such thing as a free meal. God doesn't need anything of us. As though God needed something. He said, tell me what I need. Because all things are of Him and by Him and for Him and to Him, and He's everything. So, we're off on the wrong foot in our theology because it's entirely corrupt. And we've got to get back to the prophet and his complete, unadulterated, absolute, perfect revelation. And here he said, they were one spirit being. Now look what God said about them. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over all cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Absolutely. So God created man in His own image and gave him this authority. This is what God said. And no matter what is added to it, cannot change it. It merely lets you in on more and more of what God had in His mind concerning this. You understand what I'm saying? This is number one. This is principle. Everything else is addendum. And it doesn't change it. Nothing can change this. But of course, poor God, just too bad that man cut his throat. That isn't true. Now, let's just go to the book of Ephesians, the first chapter, starting with verse 3. Well, let's read verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, even to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So, the will of God is involved here. It wouldn't amount to hill of beans outside of Jesus Christ. And the salutation from Paul is from God and His Son. Now you do what you want with it. It never said God the Son like Jesus only. And it didn't say God the Father and God the Son like the Trinitarians. What does it say? Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sons have beginnings. The eternal Son of God is hogwash, although let's understand there is an eternality involved. It's just like if I were a sculptor and took a piece of stone. Then I take my tools and I bring forth a statue. The statue had a beginning, and yet it had no beginning. You understand what I'm saying? It was always there. But the statue began being molded. That's why we talk about Hebrews. Jesus was the complete expression. What did God make him of? Brother Branham said a light came forth from God. Did God say, I'll now manufacture a light? This is deep. It's too deep for me, but I'm doing my best. Hang in there. Don't give way to Trinitarianism and oneness. Brother Branham said, we stand between. We are neither oneness. We are not threeness. We stand in between. And he categorically said, there were not two gods. Okay. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Who was doing the blessing? God was. Who was doing the creating? God was. Who was doing the reconciling? God was. Who was offering himself? Jesus was. How? By God doing it, the eternal spirit. How's the blessing coming now? It's coming by God through Jesus Christ. Ain't no other way. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. The choosing, as Brother Branham said, was not I picked this one, I picked that one. They were already in him and were waiting for manifestation, the names put upon the book, and then spoken, everyone coming forth in his order. Now that's what he said. Don't try to figure it. Just believe it. Now listen. Before the world, before a speck of stardust, before any government, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Don't you see that every single thing was already in God and already purposed, but he had to bring it through Jesus Christ? All right. It says here, and make no mistake about it, we were chosen in him, and we were predestinated according to his will and made accepted, and we were placed as children. It is not that we weren't children, but only could we be placed through Jesus Christ. And you say, why did he have to do it? Mind your own stinking business. That's the stupid attitude of a legalist, of a sinner, of a reprobate, of a serpent seed. He never asked you. He's telling you. I like what I said. And I'm going to go back and make it just tough as I can make it. And I'm going to read out of Romans the 9th chapter. This is way down the line. They've rejected Jesus. And Paul is speaking concerning the fact of the Hebrews. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Now Paul's brother Branham categorically said, when Moses made the same statement, that was God in Moses, Christ in Moses. Then who's in Christ in Paul making this statement? Somebody comes along and says, oh, I could do this and I could wish that. You better make sure you're a guy like the Apostle Paul, a prophet. Anybody can quote Scripture and mouth off. It's a different story when it comes to living it. Who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption? That's the placing of sons. Paul, Jesus, and I don't care if you came from the loins of Abraham. There are sons and sons. Absolutely. One was according to predestination. We'll get into that as we're in the covenants. and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers and of whom are concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. And whose flesh did it come by? It came by a woman of the tribe of Israel. Of one of the tribes. Not as though the word of God had taken none effect. Take it right back there to Genesis. He said, I put you here. You're here to have dominion, to rule. And they did for a while. So now the word of God is in effect. Man came in by the devil. And God, man and the devil are so big. Poor God, poor God, poor God. I got to pray for God. Do you know one guy so stupidly got caught up in that kind of preaching, so sorry for God, he walked across the ring, oh God, poor God, poor God. And he started crying, oh poor God. Sheesh, if I had to worship that kind of a God. Now you can have sweet, wonderful emotions concerning the fact that man left God and man is leaving God. And turning down Jesus Christ and turning down vindication. It's understandable you can have that. But don't think God is on the hot seat. That he muffed it. He miscued. He didn't have it figured out. Show, brother, sister. Not as though the word of God had taken none effect. Do you understand what I'm saying? Here's an earthly case where God gives a come with Israel. God takes it down the line, down the line, down the line. And Israel keeps turning back, turning back, turning back. Just like God said they would do it. If they went in a certain way. And they did it. Now he said, so what? Has that made the word of God none effect? All Israel's not all Israel's not Israel. But he said there's a remnant. There's a seed. And you watch those souls under the altar. They're going to come forth. And the 144,000. And right now the poor Jews are having a terrible time. Fighting more and more with the Catholics. And the Catholics want to blame the Jews for killing Jesus. It was the Roman soldiers that killed Jesus. Rome did it. Rome stood there to devour the one, stands there to devour the child. Herod did his best to do it. Now they'll destroy the church. Let me tell you one thing. The Sanhedrin did it just the same. But there was a few stood right by the seat of Almighty God, and they recognized Messiah. Poor old doddering Simeon couldn't even see round the corner, so blind. A blind man recognized the baby. Doddering old woman, prophetess Anna, she recognized the baby. And people today turn their noses up at that and say, wow, you've got some kind of an image you're worshiping. Hogwash, that's no image, that's a picture of reality. Amen. Not all Israel's Israel, that's true. Nor because they are the seed of Abraham are they the children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So what? Isaac had two kids. One was a stuffy nosed stinking brat. Nice kid. But a million miles off the word, his name was Esau. Is that right? One was Jacob. And Jacob's firstborn son. Lusty sex-bound heathen. Judah. Took one of the... Judah had the son, rather. Yeah, Judah was the son of Jacob. And his son, grandson, took one of Judah's wives. Right down the line, you'll see this. Right down the line, you see all this rottenness being brought up before the people right in Scripture. Now it says, that is they which are the children of flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of promise are counted for seed. Now that's true, but they've got to get here somehow. Now we're going to talk about that. For this is the word of promise, this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah had also conceived by one, even by her father Isaac. Now watch. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. That the purpose of God. Never mind the rest of the words according to election might stand. But it's that the purpose of God might stand. Now, what's the purpose of God? To have children absolutely, positively, to fill the earth and to rule it. Now, how are you going to change it? See what I'm trying to get across to you? Get first things first. That's right. Don't go starting trying to build a house without rocks or gravel, cement, and lumber, nails. Well, bless God, I'm going to build a house. Well, tell me, how are you going to build a house? Well, tell. I got this nice piece of property right down here on the seashore, and the water rolls up within 10 feet, and I'm building it there. He said, hold. You're going to build your house on that sand? Yeah. Let me tell you a little story Jesus told. He said, there's a man built his house upon the sand, and the winds blew, and the floods came down, and the house washed out. But there is a man built his house upon a rock. Something like the three pigs, eh? Yeah. Built on a rock. And the winds blew and the floods descended and the house held. You've got to have principle. Anything that God plants will not be rooted up. Anything that God does not plant will be rooted up. Now, there's a lot of leeway in there, as we see. The purpose of God might stand according to election, not of works, but of him that calleth. Who made the original covenant? Now, here's an example. The original covenant stands regardless because it is irrevocable. It is one of those one-sided things that the sovereign God said, this is how it is, because I am. And there's no changing. And he said, be fruitful and multiply. And you're going to control everything. And it was when they were not in a physical body, but were absolutely one. Here we see separation. As the only begotten Son separated. As Brother Branham said, that light went out as a child playing round the Father's door. And he began speaking and doing things. And the Father standing back and approving it. He said, that boggles my mind. Then open your mouths, fat mouths, which we all have, and start saying what God said. Don't try to figure it. We're in the book of leadership, where God said to Joshua, start spouting it, boy. Start spouting it. While he went to God, Joshua did he? He said, now, Lord God, I just can't say these things without understanding. Do you think that hairy-chested, upright fellow with Caleb, who went into the foreigner's land and saw them great big men, giants, big cities, and they looked like grasshoppers, Israel did? Caleb and Joshua came back and said, shut up, you 10 idiots. I'm going to say what God said. I can take the land. We're more than able. We're not. We may look like grasshoppers, but we're scorpions, bless God. That's what Israel did, and that's what, that 6-7 day war? Amen. I'd like to see somebody stand up. You know why America's got no guts? You turn that down. Turn that down. King of kings and Lord of lords. Joshua said, God, he didn't argue God. When God said, let your word be in my word be in your mouth, he didn't say, let it be in your mind. Don't you write it out. He said, Joshua, you just look at that word. Let it come out of your mouth. Let it come out of your mouth. Let it come out of your mouth. And when the mind does not get in the way, that God's word in the mouth of man is the same as the mouth of God. No difference. Because God's going to back it up. Yes, sir. It says right here, that the purpose of God might stand according, not to works, but according to God himself. It's a sovereign thing. So back there in the garden, he made it a sovereign thing that man was absolutely going to control and would be in control. Now what's the next thing he did? Now remember, it was at that time that he said, be fruitful and multiply. So therefore, the multiplication and their ruling went together. Now, if these people then did not multiply according to truth, then there would be problems. Because the next thing in the Garden of Eden was, he said, look, you eat of the wrong tree, you'll die. Now remember, every tree was good for food. So this was not a food tree. Is that right? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do I need a blackboard? Every tree was good for food. Is that right? The Bible says so. Now suddenly, if there's a tree that's not good for food, it cannot be a real tree. It's got to be symbolical. You understand what I'm saying? My God, you must understand by now. Well, I can tell you, millions out there don't understand and don't want to understand, they will understand. So it wasn't something you eat. Now, the tree of life was there. They didn't need it. They're already alive. And no problems and dominion. So that wasn't a tree either. You got two things that weren't trees. You got symbology now hanging in the air. Now, he said to them, now listen, don't you dare take of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day of the eating of dying, thou dost surely die. Now, the point is this. In God's eternal plan, which as we read scripture, we see it unfold. What went wrong? What went wrong was simply this. It wasn't that they were forbidden the sexual act which brings about birth. It was forbidden exactly how and at what time and at what conditions. Because Brother Branham made the statement which many people cannot understand. He said they would have come to it later or at a due season. Okay, I'm going to read you then out of 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. And we can see where this whole thing bogged down, but it bogged down worse than people understand, because it was the beast who went to Eve, and she said, I was seduced. It was an immoral act, and she was caused to be made pregnant by him. Now, before you read this, remember, in Genesis 2:24, it was said, he said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And God had said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and be joined to one wife, be joined and become one flesh. And Jesus in Matthew 19 on divorce said the very same thing. For this cause a man leaves father and mother and they'll be joined together and become one flesh. Now notice exactly what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and get this flat. In verse 15, know ye not your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? God forbid. I want to ask you a question. Were Adam and Eve members of Christ? Well, if they weren't members of Christ physically, tell me what they were members of. Of the devil? The scripture distinctly says that Adam was a son of God. And if Eve came out of Adam, then she was a daughter of God via Adam. But in the beginning and eternally in Christ, she had to come from there too. Because that's what Adam came from and she came from him. Now listen, what know ye not that he that is joined to an harlot is one body? For truth says he shall become one flesh. It tells you right there, the act of sexual intercourse is where the one flesh comes in. So it was said in the Bible they would come to the act of sexual intercourse. Naturally. But he that joined the Lord is one spirit. They were one spirit. They were joined to God. They were put on their own as one spirit. They went into the flesh. And they should have retained their one spirituality and their one spirit, even though they were in flesh, and it was Eve that sold out to the serpent through an act of sensuality. And what did she do? She came and presented herself to Adam. And if you're not smart enough, I'll tell you in plain English. And if you got to go home and explain it to your kids, you should have been explaining it anyway. She deliberately got him excited. You say, Brother Vail, how do you know? The prophet told me because they asked him. I said, what did he do? And he told me what she most probably did. If she let the serpent get his, the beast get his hands on her, so she also got his hands on her. Now, we're not finished. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians 7. And he's talking about don't go to a harlot. Glorify God, your body's temple of the Holy Ghost. And he takes that same temple, and remember, Adam and Eve were clean human beings. They were not dirty. They had with them the power of sexual intercourse and the bringing forth of children. And what God does is not dirty. Concerning the things you wrote unto me is good for a man not to touch a woman. That's the way it was in the beginning. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, every man have his own wife, that every woman have her own husband. That ought to warn you right there. And right now, to warn your kids, there's a great danger. And this is the biggest danger they will face spiritually. And it's up to you to teach them. And to counsel with them. Because the Bible does it. He speaks to adults. Let every woman have her own husband. So she's got a problem. Let the husband render unto wife due benevolence. And likewise, the wife to the husband. In other words, it's a job of each to satisfy each and not withhold themselves. The wife has no power over her own body but the husband, and likewise the husband hath not power of his own body but the wife. So it's a mutual affair that must be worked out in a pattern which is satisfactory to both and satisfactory to God and satisfactory to nature. Defraud ye not one another except it be with consent for a time. That you may give yourself to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your inconsistency. This I speak by permission and not by commandment. He said, if there's any time at all that you wish to have a certain refraining from the act, remember this, that you have the habit already built up and those organs will not remain unsatisfied. There's no way. Especially with the male. You understand what I'm talking about. You can say what you want. But this is the Bible and this is absolute true physiology, biology, call it what you want. He said, I would all men were like myself, but every man is his proper gift to God after this manner after another. I say, therefore, the married and the unmarried and widows, it's good for them, but they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry. It's better to marry than to burn. In fact, he tells young widows they should marry because if they don't, they'll start messing things up. Now, let's go and find out what Peter says. 1 Peter. The third chapter. And verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell. He's talking about marriage now. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with these daughters of Abraham, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. He tells you right flat here that any woman approached by a man can have a hard time resisting. And having a husband She would feel she has no right to resist. And yet it says right here that the men are to deal with their wives according to knowledge, which is science. Skio, skira, skitum. You have the word science in the, it's not the Greek, that's the Latin. So it tells you right here there is a control to be exercised. I'll go into that some other time, perhaps. But the fact of the matter is this. A woman is not given of necessity to bear children every single year because her body is made in such a way of the natural program of cycling of birth control, and it said the man ought to deal with his wife in that capacity. And yet at the same time it warns, they must not stay apart lest they fall into sin. So this is something that could be a trap, but it is the word of God. A woman can be fertile as many as 10 days, although it's really only one day, five on each side. And it can be known perfectly and proven that it is a positive method of birth control. You say, Brother Vail, you teach something like that, we'll have our kids doing it. If they don't understand this, they'll do it. And they'll be all messed up. This is disregarding the word of God and what the prophets taught, the anointed men of God, that people have disregarded. And the Catholics have told their priests, you cannot marry. And they've seduced so many women. The Catholic Church is full of whoredoms. They have popes that seduce their own sisters. Practiced incest. And Catholics are still Catholics. Oh God, I can't understand it. A lot of things I can't understand myself. Where have I been for 60 years? You're hearing things you might not want to hear. You're going to hear them anyway. This is the Bible. So I go back to the first covenant. It never was changed. God will have his own sons and daughters in a millennium, in a new Jerusalem. And he has a pattern where he has a church and a bride out of the church. He has his wise virgins, he has his foolish virgins. He has the whole picture. As in Adam, all die, even so in Christ, all made alive. Every single one predestinated. Not one missing their place. You look up in the heavens, you see great big stars up there, you see big old planets, you see galaxies, you see little old twinkling stars, or I don't know what they are, and I care, unless there's something up there bobbing around, some great big ones, some tiny ones, some with rings and moons around them, and God knows what. And I don't care two bits, all I know, the Bible says they all have their glory. And so we take and send a spaceship up there, and they get a picture of Uranus and all the rings around, and Neptune, all the rings around. They go, oh, my, yeah, like a bunch of chipmunks throw them a banana. God made it and put them in their order of glory. He did the same thing with the human race. His brother Branham said Abraham was a silver dollar, and maybe old Lot was just a nickel or one penny or a dime. He said they're dollar Christians, they're 50-cent Christians, they're 2-bit Christians, they're 10-cent Christians, nickel Christians, and coppers. But everyone's got his place. Everyone predestined. That's why he said don't unchristianize anybody. Just wait and see what happens in the great resurrection coming up. So he had the first covenant. Never was abrogated. Never was. The only thing was he began moving on his covenant, moving and elaborating, moving so everything could be just exactly how he wanted it. And he said, I want many sons and I want many daughters, and I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to have them, and I'm going to use the process of placing. Yeah. Well, said the young couple, we're healthy, we love each other, and we love kids. We come out of a large family. We're going to have a boy first, then we're going to have a girl second, we're going to have another boy, and another girl. Hogwash you are. You're not God. You can't place him. God places him. God knows every single one of you. Brother Branham said, God knew I'd be up here preaching, you'd be down here listening right at that very minute. He said God knew how many fleas there'd be, how many times they'd bat their eyeballs, and how many it would take to make a pound to tell.
He said, Abraham called for flies. There were two flies created. They began buzzing around. Pretty soon flies came here, flies came there. Pretty soon yards of flies. God said, Moses, you call for frogs. He called for frogs. They're feet deep everywhere. He said, Moses, you call for quail. Brought them in. If the wind bring them in, ha, the wind brought them in. They just came in on a wind. God created them. This is what we're looking at in covenants. This is the first step you've got to get in your mind. This is exactly why I'm going over and over this. There is an original covenant that God made with Himself and in Himself according to what was in Him. And in Him, believe it or not, were people like you and me. From Brother Bear, that I look at myself and I look at myself. Hey, stupid. You don't know how you look. Just because you got a body, you may look like that alien E.T. Huh? I finally saw the film. Everybody see E.T.? If you didn't, you've seen pictures. I finally bought it to see what it was all about. What is it, 10 years too late? That's cute. How do you know what you look like? My Bible says inside is the glory of God waiting to be reflected if you only believed it. Inside, according to Scripture, there is a seed that must come forth in His likeness. Inside there is an eternality waiting to pick up its immortality. The second covenant, my brother, my sister, does not stop the original purpose of God. The original purpose of God we find here in the book of Ephesians, which I read to you. Watch. Verse 8, we're into the bounded tortoise in all, he had the bounded tortoise, in all wisdom and prudence. This smart, brilliant, blueprinting architect had this fantastic plan. And so did some other architects. And they built their plans. And they went, kaput. Right? The bridges that fell in the river and under the water. The unsinkable ships. The airplanes that wouldn't fall down. The houses that could survive earthquake. And the building that shouldn't catch on fire. Like the McCormick building on the waterfront in Chicago. Made out of steel. And all the furniture, millions and millions of bucks sitting there. And a little fire starts. And all the steel girders twist and crumble in no time. It's a total loss. But they said, but the contractors and architects said, absolutely it wouldn't do it. But it did. What kind of architect, what kind of a blueprinter and architect is God? I feel real good. Right? Turn it time, turn it over, turn it over. I've got time off to shout. You want to shout with me? Oh, listen, you can run and jump, climb. Yeah. Just don't hurt anybody. You can look a little foolish. I'm up here foolish all the time. Because I can't back up a thing that I say. But I'm trusting Him to do it for me. Listen to it. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will. Now, Brother Branham correctly said with every theologian, no matter how clear God reveals a mystery, there's still a mystery in it. You never get it perfect. Because eye hath not seen, the ear heard, the mind of man can't comprehend it. Now watch. Having made known the mystery, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. The purpose in Himself was that beginning. And I can prove it. Because that's what the book of Revelation closes with. And John the Revelator, the last one, saw the holy city coming down. That did it. Not one child of God lost. Jesus came on the scene. He said, all the Father gives me. They were in him. I'm going to lose none. I'm going to raise it up. What do you want for a nickel? What are you looking for other than that? This can't change. The unchanging God cannot change. And he said, I stand behind my word to perform it. Therefore, Rhema and Logos, Rhema and God, there's no difference. I know people want to make a difference. Oh, forget those half-wit idiots. God have pity on you. I don't want to spill the beans on anybody, so I won't mention any names. But I got wind there was a certain guy in a certain city out of a certain church that's completely defunct and wretched of anything we have any knowledge of this truth. Came by and said, oh yes, you know, Brother Branham has been seen by several people and Joseph is talking to him. I said, the man's a liar. Brother Branham said, when you see the dead, a sweep will go over you and you'll be changed. We don't believe in nonsense around here. God help me to lie to every one of you and kick you where it hurts when your back is turned. But never, never tamper with this word. I ain't done it yet and I'm not about to. I don't have the strength or I might. You're lucky I'm getting old. And I only have a bark. I don't have any bite. You know I'm just kidding you. That he purposed in himself. Now listen, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which both which are in heaven and which are on earth. Now listen, in the flesh, when Adam and Eve sinned, he stopped that. Stopped it. So I'm going to wait down the end of the road now. With every one of these children born in sin, I'm going to bring them in by the blood. I'm going to raise them up. And what's he going to do next? Everyone in whom also we obtained an inheritance. I booted them out, and I'm going to boot them in. Brother Bale, I beg your pardon. We have a choice. Piggy, piggy, piggy. Doggy, doggy, doggy. You had a choice to become a sheep. You're a liar. You're so crooked. You know, you make a snake look straight, and there's corks to look like straight line. What are you talking about? The sheep hear the voice. When I say these things, I look at your faces, and some of you aren't getting it too well because you're still back in legalism. You still don't believe God. You still don't believe the prophet. What are you doing to yourselves? What word are you talking? What word are you looking at? Do you think for 1 minute God left his word up to luck? Oh, brother, sister, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him. What was that purpose? It was before the foundation of the world. Bible said so. Bringing many sons and daughters through Christ. And the prophet explained it. He said, God being what he was, he had to show forth his characteristics And Irenaeus said it so perfect that when I acquainted Brother Branham with the saying, which is in the third book of the Nicene Fathers, he used the same expression, God being a Savior. It was necessary. He predestinated a sinner in order to give himself a reason and purpose of being, because his name was always Jehovah, even though it was Elohim. Or it was just a further revelation. Right? This is the truth. All things were predestinated according to the purpose of him, the work of all things after the counsel of his own will. And he took counsel with nobody. Huh? Amen. Right. Where are works? Left out. Where are you and me? Left out if we're not in the book. If we're not in the book of Lamb's Book of Light, brother, sister, nothing will ever put it there. No, it won't. No, it won't. Listen, I'm 75 in just a few days. So every single person, let's say that's 18 years younger, you could have been in my loins, but you weren't. And none of those that were here. So, brother, I'm going to work it, bless God, so you can adopt me. You be no more my child by nature than a horse. Hey, that might have been cheaper having horses, wouldn't it? See how stupid it gets? What you can't, you can't. See, that's what's wrong today in the church. No power, because they don't know how to throw it back on God. I'm telling you the truth. That's my trouble. I'll waste hours and everything else trying to figure a thing. Just throw it back on God. You never even learned that. The Apostle Paul did. Boy, those guys were tough. Why? They had a tough God working for them. We got a tough God. He's willing to work for us. We think we can out-tough the tough God. The devil tried it. He ain't too happy. Don't worry. He knows his ends here. It says, in whom we obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him, which he purposed in himself, who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be, will be, absolutely, to the praise of his glory, who were in him and therefore trusted. You see, I think, Brother Vail, you're perverting Scripture. I think you don't know what Scripture is. Because my Bible tells me as many as were ordained unto eternal life believed, and those who weren't ordained unto eternal life did not believe, and nobody can twist that. That's one Scripture that all of these big-mouthed legalists can never touch, have never touched, and will never touch, because it's written so clearly, only those ordained. Placing of sons. Who is the Son of God from the beginning? As Brother Branham said, if you never had representation back there, you don't have it now. He said, there'll come a day when you'll find you always were saved. You just made knowledge at a certain point. The blood of the everlasting covenant cleared the way. Okay. You understand then principle. What are we dealing with now then? And this, maybe as far as we'll go again today. I got my notes for another couple sermons or whatever, about four or five. But all my notes aren't here. Because I just come up to Exodus, my last notes. We go on and on. What are we seeing here? We are seeing principle. We are seeing basic doctrine. Therefore, everything must move from this point without violation of the foundation. You understand what I'm saying? Plain English. Cornerstone's capstone. What's poured into the foundation, my brother, sister? In the great pyramid of God, in His Old Testament, New Testament, it's all the same. You will find what is poured into the foundation absolutely will end in capstone. For Paul the Apostle said, no other foundation can be laid than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Or he calls it Christ Jesus. If this is the case, and it is the case, it says in Ephesians 4, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. That's verse 7. Wherefore he said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it also descended first in the lower parts of the earth? And he that ascended is the same that also ascended far above all heavens, he might fill all things. It says, the one that went down into Hades and led them all captive went up. That wasn't the body. The body went to the grave. Right? Okay. And this same one came back on the pillar of fire, set the church in order. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. So don't try to take them out. Now, if you want to take me out, you go ahead. Everybody else is doing it. But I'm going to tell you one thing. If I find out, I'll throw you out. Why should I fool with you? You think I want you sitting at my table? You're not my kids. For God's sake, let's be honest once in our lives. And not hypocrites. Now listen, for the perfecting of the saints, that's equipping the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of faith, and that even of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a mature man, unto the measure of stature of perfect in Christ. That's stature of perfect man, 1 Peter. That we, 2 Peter, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried above every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby the lying wait to deceive. Now listen, this in spite of the original foundation that Paul laid. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. And he said, I have laid it. Then you be careful how you build. And Christ is the Word. Now a true fivefold ministry by the Word of God will bring forth a bride as to its part in doing something about it. And that means it helps her. So it's no great problem to realize Brother Branham was here to dress a bride. You follow me? Am I getting too mean for you? I felt a little spirit in here just a second. I'm a little bit tough on you people. You're not following me. Am I getting too rapid? I'm trying to slow down and just hit this every way I can to make you to understand, brother, sister. Because listen, I'm only here for one reason, one purpose. Not to fool you or to make you wonder. I'm here to teach what Brother Branham told us to teach. And preachers may say, well, Brother Bay, you ain't nothing. Never said I was. But when did he ever say to them that his gift was like theirs? That's an interesting question. Very interesting. So I stand here without what worry at all. I stand here in faith in my God. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's listen, in spite of the fact of the foundation laid and the warning, this takes place. Till you can fool people that you get the Holy Ghost by speaking in tongues, because tongues is the Holy Ghost. I give you my pen. That's Lee Dale. Don't be ridiculous. Again. Something's wrong somewhere. But holding the truth in love, speaking it, make up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now look. Until you come to a certain place, the truth isn't stable. It became unstable under Paul. Do you see what's wrong with the church's brother and sister? Everybody said, well, I read the Bible. I read the Bible. Our church believes the Bible. Our church believes the Bible. Look, hey, that's what the Bible says. What does it say? The Bible says the church becomes unstable with another Jesus, another Word, another Spirit. then prove to me you got the original. Come on, somebody stand up here and tell me. You some authority you heard from God? Like some stupid woman had a vision of three gods, a big one, a little one, and a medium-sized one? I said, that was the three bearers. Oh, the people got mad at me. I flattered her. You ever hear how they made soup out of an ass head when they were starving? When Israel was compassed with the Syrians? They found a few old ass heads and they took what the pickings they couldn't make soup. I flattered the woman. And the people got mad. There comes a time when the truth becomes stable. When the truth becomes 100% foundational, which is no other foundation can be laid than what I laid, said the Apostle Paul. Now he said, you've got many teachers, but you've only got one Father. You've only got one real revelation. I brought it. Nobody else did. Stood right there and hit him. And said, if you're going to make it, get this plan. You're going to make it by me in the principle that I have been the one who was authorized to bring you the reality. How many little old women and men are being bamboozled out of all their life saving by some couple smart guys coming and saying, hey, I'm from the FBI. I'm from the priest down here. And we think there's a certain person doing something wrong at a bank. Now, there's a little way we can trick them. So what you do, you put your money in the bag. When you get the bag back, it's full of paper shreddings. You say, Brother Bill, are there people that stupid every day? And they're sitting in pews in the church. The foundation from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effect you're working in the measure of every part, making increase the body of the edifying of itself in love. It says right here, there's going to be a return to the original. Now, let's ask a very good question. Not too stupid, but very good. Who cares two bits about this? If I can't return to Genesis 1, 26, 27, 28, the original covenant of God, who needs this? See what I'm telling you? You throw everything into a problem if you don't realize that everything has got to go back to the original. What God purposed in himself, he is going to get. And he's going to get it his way. And let's be honest. I am not left-handed. When once in a while I must use my left hand, I've learned a bit. I used to do this years ago. I'd cut my steak. Yeah, I did have a bit of steak in those days. Cut my steak and do my fork this way. Always I learned, cut. Don't change hands. Now I'm back to the sloppy American way. I cut. Isn't that right? You cut your steak, then you switch hands. We're right-handed people. I'm not left-handed. I wasn't born left-handed. I was born right-handed. See what I'm trying to tell you? I don't change because I was made a certain way. And God doesn't change because he was made a certain way. You know what I mean that? God is a certain way. As Brother Branham said, he's never had another thought since the beginning. He hasn't had to change anything. He doesn't change his mind, doesn't change his word, he doesn't change. Ecclesiastes said so. But when God begins to open his heart and his mind to you and me, our minds are so different and so pervaded by the devil using a sense knowledge which must go. We begin to stand in doubt of God. And there's the poor old Apostle Paul, the pillar of fire raging inside of him, preaching the Word of God. And he stands up, he says, I stand in doubt of you, Galatians. He literally died inside. He said, can't you ever get anything right? He said, there was a time you'd have plucked your eyes out for me. There was nothing you wouldn't have done. But he said, the first thing somebody comes by, was it James that said a man looks in the mirror and he forgets what manner of man he was? Jesus said there's a man came on the scene. he was planting seed. And he said he planted seed, and don't you know, he said some fell in the sidewalks, the birds came and ate it. Then he said some fell into rocks and things and thorns, and it died out. Why, he said the people that like planted on the sidewalk, he said the birds come. He said that's the devil, just plucks it out like that, didn't do a thing. And then he said there were those people in there that amongst the rocks that got battered out too. But he said amongst the, there was those had a little more root. And he said they endured for a while and they had joy. But it died. And there were some people saw Jesus in the resurrection. Was it Peter? Rather, came out of prison. I forget which. I'll look it up. My mind's not all that sharp these days. And you know what? They couldn't believe for joy. How many people took Brother Branham's message because he got excited, because he shouted, because he had manifestation, demonstration, vindication. They caught something, even made him the Lord Jesus Christ. They screamed, they shouted, danced up and down. Where are they today? Where's Branham Tabernacle? Fight the very thing I preach because they don't know. Brother Branham said, my ministry is to declare that he is here. And God never gave a true healing revival to back up some dead and dying stale old doctrine. Let me tell you something. Jump up and down all you want and say you love the prophet, this and that. But if you're not in this word, brother, sister, I'm going to tell you, you're not kidding me, you're kidding yourself. And you're not kidding God, because God knows the heart. Let me tell you, God knows the heart. You know something? I'm feisty, you know that. But I'm a Libra. I can get so mad at things and shoot my mouth off. But in my heart, I'm saying, watch it. You don't know the conditions, balance it out. You say, Brother Vail, then does God read your heart the way it is? He sure does. But I got an answer from my mouth too. Just like you do. Now, if the mouth gets in control, the heart and the mouth will be one. That's why Joshua was told, get your mouth in control. There'll be no further problems. That's why James said, a fountain doesn't give forth bitter and sweet at one place. It Jericho gave forth bitter, and old Elisha made sure it didn't do it again through the cruise of Solomon. This word is what counts, brother and sister. The original covenant is what counts. Every other word from that point on is a true revelation of the whole covenant. And it will never come into view. No, until you and I are changed from the inside to the circumference. And we meet in the New Jerusalem after the great white throne. And even then, we'll keep going on calling upon God. For the prophet said, when the Lamb is on the throne, the pillar of fire above the throne, before we call, he will answer. So therefore, there will always be something we're wanting. Or why bother calling? There will never be an end to revelation. Now let us understand this in closing. And I am closing. The original revelation is what you and I must look at. And everything else in the light of it. Because it cannot deviate. When you read Genesis 1:26, 20:28, you must read Ephesians chapter 1. Because it takes you from before Genesis 1 all the way past, not past, but into the New Jerusalem. Those 23 verses. Because they put you right up there with him who said, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice, open the door, there's something he needs. He said, he that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, as I have overcome and sat down with my Father in his throne. And he said, but brother, let me tell you, Brother Vail, when I get to the place when I can exercise all that, I think that would be true. But I want to ask you one question. How did Jesus Christ offer himself by the eternal Spirit? How did Jesus Christ withstand the devil? By the eternal Spirit. How did Jesus Christ speak those words of life? By the eternal Spirit. How did he do those acts? By the eternal Spirit. Then you and I had better get to the place where it's by the eternal Spirit. And it doesn't mean turn the world upside down for Jesus winning millions and millions of people. It means in making God true. How often did Brother Branham quote this? That every man's word be a lie, but let mine be the truth. If you can't get the picture in Genesis 1, brother, sister, and I can't get it, if we can't, there's no picture left. It's distortion. Don't ever pit Scripture against Scripture. Read it and say, this is it. The rest must fall in line. The rest must explain. The rest is the journey. This is it. I'm a child of the King because I am part of the King. I'm not a child of the King because I heard an invitation. The invitation and the coming was merely his ability to place me. Don't you understand, like Samuel stood before Jesse? Eliab comes and he looks great and God says, oh, Samuel, 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 I don't go by the looks on the outside. Smarten up, boy. You're old enough to know better. Each one stood there. Going to be the king. Going to be the king. Going to be the king. You know what? David came in. Samuel said, that's he. Going to be the king. Going to be the king. They were lucky they're the brothers of the king. David never made himself king. Amen. He already was king by God. The little fellas are arf, arf, bow, wow. Doesn't say bah, bah. You ever hear a dog sound like a sheep? I didn't do too good to either one of them, but you know what I'm talking about. We'll let you go with one question. Were you there? Oh, I know that song, Brother Bale. Was I there when they crucified my Lord? No, I didn't say that. I said, were you there when all the morning stars shouted for joy and the sons of God came, clapped their hands? And Satan came by and looked you all over and said, well, I'll get to you when you get down there. We got our choice this morning. Who's going to get to us? Let's rise and be dismissed. Without notes, I could preach forever. With notes, I know there's a place to stop. Heavenly Father, again, we want to thank you for allowing us to come together to look as brothers and sisters, as little children especially, this morning, hoping it has been brought to a simplicity that what we saw there, Lord, was the great venture of your sons coming forth. And they would come forth and do come forth, Lord. And they come forth through a natural election into a predestination which is natural and supernatural. And we're glad we can say with Paul, who knew of the beginning and said, we're all back there, said, as you bore the image of the earthy, you'll bear the image of the heavenly. Oh, God, he laid it all out, and the prophet laid it out for us. Father, I know one thing so true. You said, except the watchman watch the city, the Lord watch the city, the watchman watches, but in vain. And Lord, if you don't watch over your word to perform it in our hearts and minds, and especially in our minds and our mouth to get it down to the heart, then Lord, we like chaff will rattle and roll around in every slight of breezy doctrine that comes our way. But Lord, if you watch over us, the house that you're building, building it word by word, which we trust we are getting it, covenant by covenant, precept by precept, whatever. And then you keep us, Lord, in this word in us and bring it to our minds. Please, Lord, because that's what you said the Spirit would be given for, above everything else. To teach us to bring it to our minds. And you know, Father, how can I say what I want and don't want, yet I believe I have the freedom to do so? I don't want the word in this pulpit only, Lord, where there's tremendous freedom because of the dearly beloved saints of God sitting in the church. But I want this word in my mind, Lord, until it just becomes a fire, Lord. And each one of us wants the same thing, Lord. Till it cannot be said of us, we are cold, we are lukewarm, no, we are red hot. We are fervent, and the heat is fervent. And our one mind and our one way is to know thee aright, which is by the true revelation of the Scripture. Knowing thee eternally, knowing we've been placed as sons and daughters, and the vindication is through the Word, and our belief, which faith is from a revelation. Lord, the simplicity is not beyond us, no way, shape, and form. It seems to be. It seems to be. But it's not so. It is ours this morning. Help us to achieve to this one place where we take this irrevocably, not just as Brother Branham said, the disciples came to place, live or die, sink or swim, which is true. But the word burning in our hearts with a right understanding and a right and truly inspired direction so that we will fulfill your heart, Lord, that's been poured into us as sons and daughters. We would love that. We ask these mercies in the name of Jesus Christ and Lord as we go. May the sick amongst us be healed. There's people here, Lord, with various problems. There's Lloyd with the problem of infection in the heart. We know how Brother Paul Berg suffered. He's got a bad heart today because of it. Needs an operation, but you're greater than that. Brother Dave Osmick, Lord, also problems that come and go, seemingly problems there in the family. You know, different ones, Lord. Wilma never got over her problem. People hear it. Every one of us, Lord. We know, Lord, that by natural birth we are subject to and heirs of all these things, but by spiritual birth and heirs of, Lord, we are now subject to and able to apprehend by your grace the things that are in your word that are ours. And the prophet said, there's none of us too old to be healed, and the servants of God are worthy of healthy bodies. Many times he said, Lord, let your spirit be here, not one sick amongst us. The sweet spirit of Christ in our midst. Lord, I believe at this time, therefore, that people are receiving their healing, Lord. I thank you for it. I know you sure do help me. I praise you for it. I guess, Lord, since you make it so nice to me, you give me strength to preach. And I love it. I should smarten up and preach every single day.
I don't know. But you do, Lord, so help us all to fulfill our calling that you've called us. We've got fine brethren here who in their work testify to people. Come to church, bring a good spirit of Jesus Christ. Not one person here this morning, Lord, I believe out of divine order, as to the spirit of Christ, the love of God, the joy of the Holy Ghost. Help them all, we pray, Lord. Help us all together till we meet you very shortly. And we will, Lord, in the sense of the reincarnation, when this spirit amongst us, your spirit, incarnates himself, crown you King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and realize how we did love you. And see the majesty and the glory of it all. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.